You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Nick Sankey, Country Manager of Blue Float Energy, who are developing the Hunter Coast and Wollongong offshore wind projects in New South Wales. Nick has worked in the energy sector for over 20 years and is currently responsible for offshore wind project developments for Blue Float Energy in Australia by leading the development of projects from site screening through to final investment decision and beyond. Nick manages site selection, consenting, development planning, and establishes and maintains relationships with strategic partners and key local stakeholders. Welcome, Nick, to the program.
Hi, Kieran. Great to talk to you.
So within that introduction that I just said, you've worked within the energy sector for roughly 20 years or so forth, and what I can see predominantly developing finance for energy and infrastructure projects. How did you get into this type of area of work?
That's right, yeah. So I've been working within the finance industry for over 20 years, predominantly financing major infrastructure and energy projects. Renewable energy has always been a big part of the energy sector, and obviously, as everyone knows, it's been growing more and more. So I've been engaged in a lot of renewable energy financing, and that's on a global basis. So I've financed projects across Europe, Asia, North America, and Australasia.
Okay, so with moving across, tell us a little bit about, so you've worked in the UK so forth and a number of different areas around the world within the renewable energy sector. And of course, you're in currently the country manager for Blue Float Energy. Just tell us a little bit about, so Australia, we've had wind farms for quite a long time at the moment. Have you seen that move, and especially within finance over those years as well, in companies, you know, as we know right now, it's getting a lot more stronger, a lot more confident, a lot more companies, and especially the banks and so forth, are starting to finance a lot of these projects across the world, and also in Australia, it's increased quite a bit over the last few years. Have you seen that transition move yourself over the last 20 years?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I guess we've seen projects being financed now for around about 20 years. Started off with some of the very first onshore wind projects within Australia. There were a number of projects, I guess, probably stimulated by the renewable energy certificates that were available. And over time, onshore wind was the most competitive renewable source. And over time, we've seen solar become more and more competitive as the cost reduced, and the installation period of solar became quicker and quicker, and supply chains began developing. So we saw the industry move from onshore wind into solar as well, although onshore wind projects have been continued to be developed. There has been, I guess, a period, you know, over time of probably energy policy uncertainty, which has delayed some projects, made some projects challenging to move forward. There's been some transmission connection issues. So I guess the industry has gradually moved forward, and that's why we've spoke about that. I've financed projects globally. A lot of financiers started to look offshore when, around about a decade or so ago, I guess there was a lot of projects in Australia were halted and were struggling to move forward. But then we saw that in Europe in particular, wind, solar, and offshore wind in particular, industries were really flourishing. And a lot of that was because of the support of governments putting contracts in place and frameworks that really facilitated the development of large-scale renewables. So I guess in Australia, seeing it move from onshore wind to solar, some other technologies there. And right now we're beginning to see the emergence, hopefully, of the offshore wind sector in Australia.
You mentioned there in relation to the transmission and connection issues, as a lot of our listeners do know, it's been a bit of a movement, I suppose, especially from government in mm-hmm. making that happen, in changing policies and so forth and legislation to be able to make that happen. But what are some of the, how has that moved? How have you seen that yourself over the last maybe 5 years move forward to be able to make projects like your own viable?
Yeah, I think we're beginning to see a much more coordinated approach to transmission development within Australia. I'm seeing organisations like EnergyCo in New South Wales and VicGrid in Victoria being established to take a more overview picture, of transmission development. So Australia is challenged with having a very strong transmission grid that feeds generation, which is centralised, predominantly around coal and some gas into the major load areas. Now that we're building out renewables that are being built in different areas of the country, I guess we're challenged with trying to adapt this, the existing transmission grid that we have, augmenting and changing that grid so that we can connect in renewables, which are not necessarily being developed in the traditional areas where energy has always been developed. So we at Bluefloat are very, very supportive of a coordinated approach to revisiting the transmission grid. I think working with governments to identify renewable energy zones is really important. So we're identifying, well, where are the best resources that will be fueling renewable energy projects, and what is the scale of projects being developed in certain areas, and how can we develop transmission that is shared and that enables as many projects to come online and capacity to be available instead of doing it on a fragmented project by project basis.
Okay, so you're doing a couple of Bluefloat Energy in Australia. You've got a number of different projects, but in relation to New South Wales, you do have the Hunter Coast Offshore Wind Project, and you also have another project out at Wollongong. Can you tell us a little bit about, let's first talk about the Hunter project.
Bluefloat in Australia has over 5 gigawatts of projects. So we have 2 projects in Victoria, being the Greater Gippsland and the Portland project. They're both fixed bottom projects where offshore wind, where they're sitting within the seabed. And then we have the 2 projects which you just mentioned then, the Hunter Coast and Wollongong offshore wind projects in New South Wales. Both of those projects are floating offshore wind projects. So due to the water depth off the New South Wales coast, these towers and turbines will actually be sitting on a floating platform off the coast. The Hunter Coast offshore wind project is proposed to be around about 30 kilometres from the Hunter Coast. So it's situated between Newcastle and Gosford, and will extend out another around about 30 kilometres. So in all, at this point, will be around about 60 kilometres from the coast. It's proposed to be 15 megawatt wind turbines. So it's a total capacity of 1.425 gigawatts. So that'll take up a surface area on the sea of a little over 500 square kilometres. The project involves having 2 floating offshore substations. So each of the turbines are connected by a cable array into the offshore substations, and then running a 330 kV cable under the sea, under a shore crossing, and into the Munmora switchyard. The Wollongong offshore wind project, it's situated around about 14 kilometres off the Wollongong coast, and will extend out around about another 20 kilometres, so around about 35 kilometres from the coast. The Wollongong project is 15 megawatt turbines, similar to Hunter Coast, has 2 offshore substations and running a 330 kV cable into the Dapto switchyard. For Wollongong, we've identified and publicly announced 2 potential sites. So one site sits just above Wollongong and one site sits just south of Wollongong. We're using those sites as options. We're still conducting analysis of which site would be the best to be developed. you know, when we look through site selection, not only do we look at the wind resource and the marine environment, we're looking at a whole lot of other things that particularly come into play for Wollongong, things like defence zones, restricted marine environmental zones, and also shipping traffic. So we're keeping our options open there, identifying two sites, but at this stage we would only intend developing one of those sites.
Okay, so we're speaking to Nick Sankley from Blue Float Energy. He's the country manager for Blue Float Energy. And, of course, he'll be presenting at the Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27. And the projects he will be presenting are the ones we just talked about just then, the Hunter Coast Offshore Wind Project and also the Wollongong Offshore Wind Project. Nick, I'm interested to... It's relatively new in a way. So wind farms have been in the country for a while. We're increasing them dramatically, and that's based on land. But offshore is nearly a completely different thing. How have you managed that in relation to, I suppose, getting understanding from the government departments and how this works?
The government is obviously supportive of offshore wind in the fact that the Commonwealth government passed legislation late last year, which actually allows for the development of offshore wind within Australia. So when you go 3 nautical miles from the Australian coast, you transition from state waters into Commonwealth waters. So that's around about 5.5 kilometres from the coast. So all of our projects, and probably nearly all of the offshore wind projects developed in Australia, are all intended to be developed in Commonwealth territory. So the Commonwealth government has passed legislation and has announced that they will be declaring zones where the Commonwealth government would like to see, will make available for offshore wind projects to be developed. And once zones are declared, then proponents will be able to apply for feasibility licences within those declared zone areas. We've also seen support from state governments for developing offshore wind projects. The Victorian government released a policy directions paper in March, which outlined the Victorian government's support for two proposed areas off the Victorian coast, off Gippsland and Portland West, where the Victorian government is proposing that they would like to see an offshore wind industry being developed. We've also seen strong support from other state governments also proposing to have offshore wind developed off their coasts. At the moment, the New South Wales government was running and has just closed an ROI process for the Illawarra region that is extending out into the waters. This is an RES proposal for renewable energy developments within the Illawarra area, but definitely including the sea, and therefore indicating support for including offshore wind as part of the state government's RES plans. So we're beginning to see the beginnings of a coordinated approach between both states and Commonwealth government, where I think all governments are realising that there is a significant task ahead as we transition from fossil fuel energy generation to renewable energy. And offshore wind is providing the opportunity for large-scale development. As I previously mentioned, our projects around about the 1.5 gigawatt size is typically much larger than any of the onshore wind projects that are being developed, and definitely larger than solar projects that are onshore within Australia. So government's very, very much behind the ability to get scale of renewable energy that will replace the existing coal-fired fleet. And also state governments and Commonwealth governments are seeing the opportunity, the economic opportunities behind development of offshore wind in terms of the jobs that the industry will create, and providing opportunities for those people who may be currently servicing or have jobs within existing fossil fuel industries as fossil fuel plants begin to be retired over time.
And that's where I was actually going to lead to in relation to, we're getting a bit more better understanding from the government moving over to it, and also the transition right now from the fossil fuels into renewable energy. And that's also a transition for most of our listeners who come from the resource and construction supply chain, which I'll say nearly the majority of them currently work within the fossil fuel industry, but also many are moving over to the renewable sector. What's some of the questions that you might get, or trying to get a bit of understanding, or for the supply chain to get a bit of understanding how they do transition over into these new projects? And a lot of it would be doing the same as what they were doing, just a little bit differently. But what's some of the reactions there that you have spoken to some people within the supply chain and how they do this?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of support from businesses within the supply chain, because I think most people are realistic to work out that there is a change and a shift within the energy sector globally, and Australia will be moving from fossil fuels into renewables. So people are very keen to understand how they can transition their business to make sure that there's a ongoing viability of their business, and to work out how they can capitalise on the booming renewable energy business. So we're seeing a lot of support from businesses. I guess people realise they will have to change, they will have to adapt, and we're very keen to work with businesses, to work with industries, to work with communities, to work with unions, to try and develop a supply chain for our industry, because we'll only be able to develop cost-effective, efficient projects if we have effective supply chains. We need to be working now to be developing workforces, to be putting in place training for workers, to be working with industry to see how they can amend and adapt their businesses, so that when we're ready to begin construction of our projects, that we have supply chains developed and we're able to move forward quickly and efficiently with construction.
Also, in relation to, so of course, a lot of the wind farms that are currently in Australia are onshore, and a lot of environmental programs, of course, are based around them as well in relation to building those projects. I myself has worked on a major project a number of years ago that was based in the ocean. It gives a whole different way of working with the environment, and also testing the environment and making sure that the developments don't have massive impacts on those areas. How are you working in that sort of, what are some of the questions I suppose you do get, but because it's a little bit different and a little bit of an understanding for people of the environmental impacts and the offsets that are provided with these projects?
It's always understandable when a new industry emerges that people will have a lot of questions, and there's uncertainty about the environmental impact of projects. Because we are lucky within Australia that we've been able to see projects developed globally, and we've been able to learn from some of the lessons that we've seen in Europe and Asia and North America, where we've seen offshore wind projects being developed. Now, any learnings will obviously be specific to certain areas. We're very cognizant of making sure that that we minimise the environmental impact of our projects as we develop renewable energy projects that have a lot of very positive impacts to communities and from the environment as we transition away from fossil fuels. There's a number of studies, particularly on the marine side, that obviously haven't been done for onshore projects. So it's looking at, in particular, mammal migration, the impact on the seabed, the impact on marine life, as not just in construction of our projects, but also as our projects are operating. So we'll be conducting a number of studies. We've already begun those studies to assess the marine environments around our areas. These studies will take a number of years to undertake and to complete. We'll be assessing the marine environment, looking at the potential impacts and issues that our projects may have, and then undertaking detailed analysis and putting in place strategies to mitigate the impact on the marine environment, to make sure that we're being as sensitive as we can be whilst constructing and operating our projects.
One of the things that I did see with, as I mentioned before, I've worked on a project before that was based in a port and harbour, and also out in the ocean and so forth. And with the structures that were created, and as you've got with the floating platforms and so forth, what we found and what was predicted as well, that those areas would also turn into a little bit of a fish habitat area because of the things and the sea lifes that attach themselves and build homes on these things. Has that, of course, that's been looked into, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely something we look into. Now we have to be very careful with that about changing the ecosystems. So as we're as we're developing our projects, it's yes, you're right that potentially the for the floating projects, the mooring lines and the floating bases can become a real habitat and effectively act as a bit of an artificial reef to stimulate marine environments. Now, we work with environmental authorities to make sure that we're not upsetting the natural balance of the marine environment. So whilst it does sound good that you're stimulating fish life around these structures, we don't want to do it to an extent that it is encouraging predators to move into the areas and upset the natural balance and the ecosystems of the area. So it is definitely one area that we work very closely with environmental authorities to do the analysis, and we'll make sure that our projects are operated and developed in a way that we minimise the disruption to the natural balance of ecosystems in the area.
Okay, yeah, no, quite interesting. And as you said, yeah, there needs to be a balance in that respect, and sometimes there could be benefits, but as well those benefits could outgrow what's really needed for those regions as well. Tell us a little bit about Blue Float Energy. So it's been around for a while. The company's been around for a while, but it's a perfect time at the moment, especially in Australia and the way things have moved. So you're at the forefront. There's only so many offshore wind farms being built at the moment or in planning to be built at the moment. Tell us a bit about Blue Float Energy and where it's hoping to go.
Sure. Yeah. So Blue Float Energy is a European-based offshore wind developer. It's a specialist in particularly in floating offshore wind projects, but it also has some fixed bottom projects in the pipeline. So Blue Float has over 22 gigawatts of projects globally, active across Europe, Asia, the Americas, and Australia, New Zealand. Blue Float's seen the opportunity within Australia of an offshore wind industry that is emerging. So you can look from developed markets such as Europe and learn from experiences in those markets to see, well, how can we effectively and efficiently develop projects within Australia as an early entrant and really get the market moving here. So I think there's going to be a lot of expertise that can be deployed, and Australia will be the benefit of being able to learn from other markets as we expand the offshore wind industry. Blue Float's in partnership with a local developer called Energy Estate. Energy Estate are based out of Sydney, and they're a renewable energy developer and a green ecosystems enhancer. They have interests in across a number of different projects developing green industries around Australia. So Blue Float, in each geographic region Blue Float operates in, we'll partner with a local partner. So Energy Estate brings us the local knowledge within the Australian market, brings very strong networks, and is particularly focused on community and stakeholder engagement and management. So we'll work closely with Energy Estate to develop our projects together.
Yes, many of our listeners would know of Energy Estate. They have been on this program before, and they will be again, because they're also presenting another project at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales, and they actually did present also at our Connecting Renewable Energy Conference Queensland only back in April of 2022. Well, believe it or not, Nick, thank you very much for talking to us. We are at the end of the podcast. So we've been speaking to Nick Sankey. He's the Blue Float Energy Country Manager, and he'll be presenting the Hunter Coast Offshore Wind Farm and the Wollongong Offshore Wind Farm at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kieran.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.